Very beautiful. I hope everybody's doing okay this morning. And I'm really thankful for Trey filling in last week. If you have your Bibles, I want you to flip to Job chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 12, and then we're going to jump over to the end of Job, and then we're going to end up in Philippians. You can't help, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I can't help but think how thankful I am for all the blessings that God has given me. And I titled today, No Matter Our Circumstances, We Thank God Today. No matter our circumstances, because they each vary and they each can change. You know, when I was a little boy, I hated Brussels sprouts. That could have been the most worst thing, and they were round. Oh, I remember them setting them on the plate, and I used to smush them into the sides. You know what I mean? So that would camouflage so I could show Mama that, yes, I've eaten some. But really, I didn't. I just smushed them with the fork when I thought she wasn't watching. You ever used to put up that barrier? I'm sure she knew exactly what I was doing. And I would hide them into the plate. I hated them things. And I told Mama that, oh, they're so, texture, everything. I can't do it. So Mama said, well, they're good for you. And there's people probably all over this world that don't even have something to eat, Michael J. You should be thankful. I can't be thankful over this Brussels sprout. I'm struggling with it. I really was. I mean, that's how I felt. I struggled with the Brussels sprout because I was just horrible. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. You could roll it. Look like a miniature soccer ball. I mean, that's what it reminded me of, Trey. And Mama would tell me when I didn't want to clean up my room or I didn't want to do that because that's not important. Mama would remind me, well, you better be thankful because there's some kids that don't even have a room. Michael J., you need to be thankful. I'd say, yeah. I'd be more thankful if I had a TV. Something big. No, that didn't work. And then I try to be thankful. I try to be thankful with what God has trusted me with. I did overcome and actually begin to love Brussels sprouts one day. And it was when Mama put cheese sauce on them. Then I gobbled them up. They were the best thing ever then. But I've always remembered that. Be thankful that you have food because some kids don't even have this. Be thankful that you have a room because some kids don't have that. Be thankful that you have a car because some people don't even have that. We give thanks in all circumstances. We've lost Martha Kate's vehicle blew up on her. Yeah, I know, poor Martha Kate. And it was. And Martha Kate said, well, I told her, I said, just be thankful. Everything's handled, everything's working, and I am. And the only person who got put out was really Tanya, you know, to be honest, yeah, because she's the mother. And Tanya said, I'm fine driving Gil's truck. I had to pull all them stickers off the back, but I'm okay with it now. We serve a God who knows our circumstances. Whether good or bad, he knows them. I want to open up with Job because God reminded me of something this week and when I was reading one of my devotions this week. Let's open up at verse 6 right there. Y'all think about it. Just think about how thankful you are for what you have. Don't be content with what you have. That God is trusting you with what you have. That it is enough to get you through. It doesn't matter. Those big flashy things don't matter. They do not matter at the end of the day. That gets you nowhere. It's just stuff. What matters is our relationships. What we do with our time here on this earth. Our circumstances. Look at what 6 says. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the works of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Let's open up with a word of prayer. God, as we pause, dear Lord, be with us, Lord, and remind us, let us know, Father, that we are thankful. We're thankful that you sent your son, Jesus. We're thankful, God, for all the blessings you give us. We're thankful, Lord, for the circumstances in our lives, even though that we might think they're rough at the time, but Lord, you're building us up. You're creating something new. Father, be with us, dear God, as we look at your word, as we study it, as we let it impress on our hearts, as we memorize it to our heart. Lord, help us, Father God, to be, Father, more like you, to follow, dear God, exactly what you want us to do. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God. No matter what our circumstances, we thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Who's thankful in here this morning? Let me hear you say, thank you.
Thank you.
Better, thank you.
Thank you.
I want to feel it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here you go. That's getting a little bit better. For the first 37 chapters of Job, he is confused. He is complaining. His friends have come in. Everything has been taken. He is asking God, why? Why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this? Why so much pain, Lord? Why so much heartache, Lord? Why haven't you answered my prayers, Lord? For 37 chapters, he does that. But in chapter 38, flip over there real quick. Let's look at what exactly starts to happen right here. But in 38, we see God speak. Job, stop asking why. And God has a few questions for him. God basically unloads on Job is what he does. And he says, you better get ready because I've got some questions for you. And when we think about that, look at what he says in 38:1. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me." That's when you know you've upset God. Brace yourself like a man. He says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understood. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know God speaking. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Six says, on what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy, who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped them in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it, and I set doors and bars in place, and when I said, this far you may come and no farther, here's where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? Man, those are beautiful scriptures that you see right there that tells you, just like Trey talked about, there's a whole lot more going on than what we can just fathom. There's a whole lot more happening. And who are we to question God when you think about it? Now, I didn't have a problem questioning my mother over those Brussels sprouts, because I would always say, why do you keep making these? Why must I eat them? Well, they're good for you and they'll help you grow up strong. She had a reason, just like God has a reason for the things that happens in our lives. We don't always see those reasons, by no means, but he's right there with us the whole time. What do you do in a situation when you can't see that the whole picture, things don't make sense and life isn't clear? What do you turn to? You remind yourselves of the things that you know about God is what you do. Now, if you actually scroll back through those 37 chapters, let me tell you what you can find, what came from Job and his friends. Job 10:12, they came up with the conclusion that God is loving. Job 36:22, they came up with God is all powerful. 34:13, they came up with God is in control. 23:14 in Job said, God had a plan for his life. Job 5:11, God would protect him. That's just my first example for today of how, no matter our circumstances, thank God today. We've never seen anything. We have that example in God's word because we couldn't fathom what Job went through. He lost everything. He was stripped of everything, and he didn't know why. Remember, it says in God's word, Job was upright, blameless man. He was close with God. And Satan said, surely he will curse you, and he never did. When you flip over to 42, Job 42, flip one page, we were just at 38, and look at what he says right there. Job 42, 1 through 6. He says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Job said, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ear has heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job had reached his all-time low, but he was no longer blaming God. He was now, if you may say, he was accepting it. He was being thankful is what he was doing. It said, Job went through one of the worst storms or trials that we could imagine, and God doubled back every single thing that he lost. In this case, we have God's word all these years so that we can learn from that. Have you ever heard that God's plan is bigger than us? That it is. Our little problems seem to start to fade away because God knows every single detail of our circumstances. You can't hide it from him. We look at Job today because no matter our circumstances, we can thank God today. We can thank him. And we can tell him that that is exactly right, God, that you have a plan and you're in control of that plan, no matter what our circumstances. Kathy Sheffield this week, and I might get in trouble for speaking about this, but she touched my heart this week because she hadn't eaten in 5 days. And she was weak. And when I called her this week, she said, they just tested me positive for COVID. And I don't have COVID, Brother Michael. I don't know. I said, Kathy, the only thing we can do right now is pray. We can pray. And so over that phone, we prayed. We asked God for healing. We asked God for protection. We asked God for wisdom for the doctors. We asked God for complete healing. Because it tears me up when I hear somebody's voice hurting. After we hung up the phone, she texted me back the next day, and I'm not going to read it text for text, but she said, thank you for yesterday. God is so good. My COVID test came back negative this morning, so we're back on track. And I said, that is so wonderful. And then when I spoke to her this morning and I said, you need to hang in there. You need to do what the doctor says, because God will sometimes give us those red flags that you need to slow down, that he's trying to tell you something. And she said, I hear him loud and clear. We all need to be listening in our prayer lives just like that. Loud and clear. That's exactly what Job did when he said he went to repent in dust and ashes, because he knew he had complained against God, and he had complained against things that he had no idea about. And God straightened him out. He said, brace yourself like a man. Who are you to talk to me like this? You have no idea what you're talking about. We just get so wrapped up in our own circumstances that we can't see the bigger picture. Ladies and gentlemen, the bigger picture would scare us to death if we knew it. You better be thankful for just what's right in front of you. Think about that. That's serious. Sometimes I don't want to know the whole picture. Sometimes I'm okay with right here. What am I dealing with? That's where we get into taking it day by day. No matter our circumstances, we thank God. Now, after everything had been done, God restored everything back to Job double. It even went down there and said, after Job had prayed, the Lord restored his fortune and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted him, consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. And each one of them gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. And the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. Job lived almost 140 years old. He saw kids to the fourth generation. He saw so many things in his lifetime, and he was thankful. He was a servant of God. Just a servant. When we come up on Thanksgiving, think about it. We should be thankful like this every day of the year. We shouldn't have a time to where we have to remind ourselves to be thankful. I hope that's not the case in your walk. I hope that's not the case in your life. Remember to be thankful for all that he has. Thankful you can use your hands. Thankful you can walk. Thankful you can talk. Thankful you can do it. It is whatever you do at work. cut hair, use hands, type on a keyboard, whatever that case may be, thank him for it. Look at what, second example today. Second example, I got time, Patsy. I'm just kidding, she didn't do it. Second example, Philippians 1. I want you to flip over there. And I can't talk about being thankful without talking about the Apostle Paul and how Paul gives us something right here that I had to share with you today, and I'll make it quick. I want you to look at me, Philippians 1, 1 through 11, and let me open up. I'm going to get 1 through 6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Being thankful is a constant attitude. Paul shows us here that being thankful is a constant state of mind. Everything that Paul does, he is thankful. Paul is always offering prayer with joy. He even tells you that. Second thing, being thankful is a choice we make. You could ask the question, how could Paul possibly be thankful sitting in a prison cell, in a dungeon, in chains? How could that possibly be? He knew that God was in control. He knew he was. He knew right where he was, why he was there. He says it in his word. He tells you, I'm there to share the gospel. I'm there to advance it. Whether in chains, whether wherever he has me, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. He knew that God was in control. He knew he was worthy of our love and appreciation. You should think Paul has everything going for him at this point to hear how he opens up right there. You would look at here. Look at here. Thanksgiving and prayer. They getting ready, okay? They getting ready to eat. I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You would think this man sitting at his house, in his mansion, at his nice table, you think that he is writing his letter with his feathered pen and his ink, and he jotting it out, he's writing it, and everything in his world is just perfect as it could be. You read those words and you get that information. He's in a prison right now. Wow. He's in a prison cell. That ain't like the nice ones we have today. He's in a prison cell. Wet, cold, I imagine he's sick. I imagine he's been through everything. He hasn't bathed. I could only imagine his circumstances. But look at his words. You can't help but take that and go, this man knew what he was talking about. He was thankful. He says, being thankful shows confidence in Christ. 7 and 8 says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's very clear that Paul didn't focus on himself or his situation. He looked to Christ. He pointed to Christ. Paul had confidence in Christ, and it showed. Think about this. You're going through a tough time in your life. You're going through something that you don't see a way out. But when you show gratitude and appreciation toward God, and you know that he will take care of you, look at what happens, 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, Paul says, that you may love, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise to God. Not believing that he's in chains, still not seeing anywhere, still thinking he's in the nice house with servants all around him. I'm thinking he's the wealthiest man in Rome is what I'm thinking. But that is not the case right here. We see the power of Christ in a person's life. Do you ever think you could walk that close with Jesus as Paul did? You can. All you have to do is devote yourselves. That's it. Would you, this might surprise you. I'm going to throw it out there. Would you believe your circumstances 2 weeks ago are not the same circumstances as today? That's the truth. What were you upset about 3 weeks ago, Penny? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. You don't remember is what I'm getting at. You don't remember.
Yes, she does.
Bad example. But you get what I'm pointing at, people. They change so much, we take our eyes off the prize. I hope and pray that today and every day, you thank God for all your circumstances, when good and when bad. Let's close. Dear Jesus, Lord, for this week, Father God, and for this entire month, Father God, we've thanked you. We've thanked you for every blessing, for everything you've done for us. And Lord, we see you in the circumstances. We see you working in the people who are sick right now, Father God. We see that bigger picture, Lord, because you let us in on it. We see it. God, help us to keep our eyes open. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, God. That, Lord, when it comes to this time of being thankful, that we have the attitude that we need to have, dear God. And that is a thankful one. There's always one thing that we control, Father God, is our attitude each and every day. And, Lord, may we get up and thank you, God, for being able to let our feet hit the ground. God, remind us all, Father God, Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who you sent for us. We thank you, God, for these examples in your word, Lord, that even 2,000 years later, God, we're learning from. You're transforming us, Father God, into what you want us to be. May we all, Father, just be found thanking you for everything. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Sister Leslie's going to come up. Think about the words today, though. Do you need to thank him today? Do you need to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior for the first time? Whatever what may be on your heart, I ask that you come. If you can pray with me and get some of the deacons up here, whatever we need to do, the altar's wide open. If there's a decision that needs to be made, whatever the case, do it today. Don't wait. Everybody rise.